shot. My hey, welcome to Screaming Boy Podcast, episode number 16. And we are going live on YouTube right now. And if you are listening to us, then you have found us, because I'll be honest with you, I did not do any social media shout outs to tell anybody that we were going live, because I completely forgot. So
it happens.
It happens. But we are here and we are excited to be here because we have with us, of course, as always, Adam and Jesse. And Jesse just got back. Jesse's pulling double duty tonight, man. You are learning a thing or two from Mark Radulich. You are doing – this is your second podcast tonight, is it not?
It is, dude. I tell you, we talked about many of our podcast ventures there during our discussion there at Asylum Comics, the Pal Podcast, Dueling Ogres.
You won, though, didn't you?
They kind of gave me a hard time. Well, they teased me saying, "Well, you do a lot of podcasts." And I said, "Yeah, I do." So we get done with the podcast, and we're all kind of standing around. I said, "Well, guys, I gotta go. I gotta go to do another podcast." So
that's awesome.
Here I am. I made it, man. I made it to Screaming Boy a little bit after 10 p.m. Saturday night. I'm glad to be here.
Good. We're glad you're here. We do want to give a shout out to the Kapow Pop Culture Podcast, and we want to give a shout out to our friends at the Dueling Ogres Podcast, and there are two great shows. If you haven't checked them out, check them out. They're just great guys, man. They are super nice guys.
I had a lot of fun tonight. I hope to do it again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to hang out with them too. So hint, hint.
Them boys need to be learned about the online stuff, where you're going to be driving a while.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I'll tell you what. Next time you're up here, maybe we could schedule something. Maybe we can. Yeah. You know, that'd be kind of. You've been up here in Marigeneta before.
Marigeneta. Hey, I'm really amazed at how many podcasts actually come out of Marigeneta.
Can you guys explain to me where Marigeneta is?
Nope.
Marigeneta, right past Parkersburg, before you get to Belfry.
It's the armpit of West Virginia and Ohio, right?
There you go. Now you got it. Wow. Right along the river.
You wouldn't insult somebody's home, would you?
Home, yeah. Trust me. We've heard it all. The West Virginia is right across the border, so we get our shots in all the time. You know that.
I was going to say, you know, I'm sure it comes from the other side too. So.
Oh, yeah.
I always say West Virginia. At least it ain't Kentucky. I'm kidding, Kentucky. I'm kidding.
Oh, all them sour emails.
You can also say that about Huntington, West Virginia, because there's enough people from Logan there that will say it's Huntington. At least it's not Logan.
Yeah, shut up.
I might have took it. No, I didn't take a shot of Logan tonight. I think I did that off air. So
thanks.
Just to let you know.
I'm from Logan County, West Virginia. Sure. It's
nothing but love for you. Nothing but love.
I'm sure.
let's get past this awkwardness.
Too late. Embrace it.
Ouch.
Embrace it.
And that's the show for this evening. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Just 2 minutes of awkwardness.
We're done. Good night. We love Ohio, West Virginia, and Kentucky, and North Carolina, South Carolina. That's where we're all from and living at the moment. So
Kakalaki.
We're all over the place. Actually, I was in the grocery store tonight, and I passed by I was just picking up a few things, and I passed by this end cap, and it had peanuts and mixed nuts and peanut brittle, and the brand name was Kakalaki.
Was it really?
Yes, and it was Kakalaki barbecue peanuts. So it was barbecue flavor, beer and barbecue flavor peanuts. And the other one was just called Spice Nuts, and it said funny name, spicy taste or something like that. And I was like, oh, I get Spice Nuts.
No.
But yeah. So Kakalaki, I want to try.
They have, they have expensive hats. You can get hats down here in South Carolina that say kakalaki on them.
Wow,
that's when I first ever heard the word kakalaki, it was because somebody we had known from up here had moved to South Carolina, and of course that's how they knew it was South Kakalaki.
South Kakalaki, yeah. I've never heard that until I moved down here.
Yeah,
and I
heard it in a rap song once.
Like, what
was it Macho Man?
No, it wasn't Macho Man or any Savage rap music. It was, which is a real album, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Real
yes,
album.
Yes, it is.
Can you get it on iTunes? Can you download it on iTunes?
Oh, gosh, I hope. I pay for Apple Music. That means I can get it.
You move on. I will find out.
All right. So, but I will, Kakalaki. It was something about take your shirt off and spin it like a helicopter.
North Carolina.
North Kakalaki, rise up, take your shirt off, spin it like a helicopter. It was a classy song.
2000, early 2000s, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even remember who did it. That's sad.
Something Boy, if I remember right. I'm serious.
Soldier Boy, tell him.
Soldier Boy, tell him. I can't remember. I'm not sure what you just.
I think I found it.
What is it?
Randy Savage.
Oh, not Randy Savage.
Be a man, Hogan.
You can find the whole album on YouTube of Randy Savage. Oh, YouTube, what can't you do?
You can also find it on iTunes as well.
One of the stupidest things I just did was try to find the Screaming Boy Podcast Network on YouTube and to try to share the link when I could have just went to the Google Hangouts that I'm in right now, find the link, and share.
All right, so this is awesome, man. Of course, affiliated with the Radulich and Broadcasting Network that you can find on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. And what is the word that we like to throw around at the Radulich and Broadcasting Network when we try to sync the shows up?
Synergy.
Synergy. So we are starting the synergization.
starting not to sound now. Like we can pronounce words.
Careful now.
We're starting the synergy off a day early. And this next week coming up, it is Wolverine week.
It is.
Coming up on the Radulich and Broadcasting Network, where they'll be talking about, on source material, we'll be talking about Old Man Logan. We've also talked about just Wolverine and the origins of Wolverine, the character of Wolverine, how we all, you know, came to love the character and all that, correct?
That's right.
And then Metal Hammer of Doom is going to be doing the Wolverine Blues.
Entombed is the name of the band, and Wolverine Blues is the name of the album.
Which is just blows my mind. I love that.
1993 as well. It got released in 93. So Matt, put yourself back in 93 in the state of what Wolverine was in back then.
Oh Lord.
I could almost agree.
He was becoming a very popular character at that
point. That was also the time, it started about then. I think I was reading Wizard magazine. I think around then, maybe a few years after, I don't know, maybe about 93. They really started pushing for Glenn Danzig to star as Wolverine in an X-Men movie.
You did see the post post I made on Source Material.
Yes. Oh,
old man Danzig.
Old man Danzig.
Gosh. That is hilarious.
So Glenn Danzig as Wolverine, that's a heck of a bit that's of a interesting. So, Jesse, you still with us? All right. Since he's still here, but I think we may have lost audio on Jesse, so we'll keep going. But really, honestly, I'm kind of at a loss without Jesse right now.
Thanks, man.
I'm kidding. So,
No, because you guys were having a conversation, and he just left in the middle of the conversation. So, yeah, you would be lost without him. Because
very true.
There goes your conversation.
That sucked. Let me tell you what I did. I signed out of YouTube thinking, oh, that won't happen to anything with Google at all. Now I'm back in here. I'm in here twice. I've got me, and then I've got – no, now I'm gone.
Now you're gone.
Okay.
Yes.
At least I did. Yeah. I smartened up and did the same picture for both of my accounts.
There you go.
I'm brilliant like that. All right. So anyway, yes, what was I saying?
Glenn Danzig.
Old man Danzig. Yes. I got him. He's on stage with the Claws.
Pawpaw Danzig.
Pawpaw. Don't sign out. Don't sign out of YouTube again.
Don't do
Jeez.
That.
Jeez.
So right. I guess we're going to start off with I did have the chance on opening night. Well, technically, tonight is supposed to be opening night, but you know how that goes in the movie watching world. I did go last night to a 10 o'clock showing of Logan and the newest and last Wolverine X-Men movie. So Logan, it got its name. I guess we can go ahead and tell you that it got its name. They're really playing off of the Old Man Logan storyline in the comic books. So Old Man Logan, of course, is a story arc in an alternate universe, really, in alternate reality, where Logan, Wolverine, is living on he's a farmer now, and he has a wife and two kids, and he pays rent to the Hulk family, the Banner family. The U.S. has fallen into shambles. It is now under control of all these different supervillains, and including now Bruce Banner, who's a supervillain, because he nukes were dropped and everything, and he took on too much radiation and went insane. The Banner family is a bunch of inbred hillbillies because he has married and mated with his cousin, Jennifer Walters, and created more Hulk babies. And they're all super tall, strong, green, the whole nine. It's really odd. And then you've got the Kingpin's territory, Dr. Doom's territory, all this, So it's a really, I will say that it's a very dark comic. You'll hear more about that on source material, but he's never really called Wolverine because he's not Wolverine anymore. He's a pacifist and he goes by Logan. Mm-hmm. And so he's just, he's a retired superhero that, is just trying to live his life and be a farmer. So in the movie Logan, he is no longer, it's the year 2029. You find out that he is a chauffeur. He owns his own limo and it's kind of like an Uber driver. So he gets appointments on his smartphone. And he goes and picks people up and drives them in a limo. It's an SUV limo, and that's how he makes his living. And he also crosses a border. He goes from the U.S. Mutants are being hunted and hated, and the X-Men are dead, and all this other this, that, and the other. They're not dead, but they're the X-Men are no more. And he's actually taken care of Charles Xavier with the help of another mutant named Caliban, which is Stephen Merchant. And he plays Caliban. He just does an excellent job as Caliban. Now, the only thing that the Caliban throughout the comic books has had a different he's had several different forms. He was Caliban, the huge, almost as big as the Hulk mutant, where he had super strength and everything. And then he was Caliban, who referred to himself as the third person. But he's always had one major power, and that's he's able to track other mutants.
That's right.
And so in this one, he's the very intelligent Caliban, who is also an albino, can't stand the sun, allergic to sun. And he can track other mutants. And he's just, he's taking care of Charles Xavier, who is at this point, over 90 years old. He's about 90, he's 90, 91 years old. And we are introduced to a new character, which is X-23. Who is, as we know in the comic books, the clone or the daughter of Wolverine. She has got two claws in each hand and one in each foot, which they actually kind of explain in the movie. Whereas Charles Xavier looks at Logan and says, "Did you notice her foot claws?" And he's like, "Well, I've, Wolverine's like, I really don't care. You know, he said, but, you know, look at her. You know, this is more proof that she's exactly like you, because in A Pride of Lions, the female lions have, you know, claws on their back feet as well to help protect themselves.
Oh, and okay.
So it was really kind of cool the way they explained it. So it's in a future. It's in an almost dystopian future. I will say this. It's a very bleak movie. It's so well done. It is very well done. It's an excellent movie. I loved every minute of it. It's going to tug your heartstrings. I'm not going to give anything away because I have two gentlemen here that want to see it and who have not seen it yet. It's just released today. So I know there are people that will listen to this that maybe not, you know, don't have a chance to see it. So I won't give anything away. But there is the fact that it is not for children.
I got to ask, mm-hmm. Were there kids in the audience?
I did not see any. No, I saw maybe one that was probably about 11, 12 years old, but he was there with his, you know, much older sibling or dad, or it was more like a sibling. Mm-hmm. They
learned their lesson with Deadpool.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, we kind of figured, you know, with the character of Deadpool, there's only one way that you could go with that movie, and that's rated R.
Yeah, really.
To me, they tried a little too hard to make it rated R, so it was kind of over the top in some of the subject matter and some of the language and stuff like that. But Logan, the language in Logan is rough. I mean, it rivals Deadpool with some of the F bombs and stuff that are in it. It was up there, and most of it's delivered by Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart.
That's so which funny.
Go ahead, Adam.
I was gonna say, you know, to me, it's so weird hearing Jean-Luc Picard drop an F bomb.
Yeah, know? Well, to me, I never really watched Star Trek, and even for people that are Trekkies and did watch Star Trek, I mean, he's taken more of a Professor X persona now.
Make it so, I mean, mother.
Oh wow! it's so far in the future that they're old men now. I guess they just don't really care. And Logan is a hard drinker, and it's kind of a hopeless future for him. You know, they're trying to protect what mutants are still around. You know, that haven't been rounded up and imprisoned or shot or whatever, and they're trying to protect them. And I tell you that because you could pretty much read that on Wikipedia or wherever, but they're trying to lay low. Wolverine Logan isn't, you know, he's just living life. You know, he doesn't care. He's just waiting to die. You know, eventually he might die. He doesn't know.
Maybe,
you know, but he's got a noticeable limp. He's got noticeable scars. He's, you know, graying in the hair and the beard. And he is old man Logan in this. I mean, his healing factor is slowing down. He's coughing. He's a little sick. He doesn't know what's going on. And at one point, it gets to a callback to, I think, maybe Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine. He has an adamantium bullet that he just carries around. That, oh, wow. you think maybe, you know, one day he's just going to get sick of it all and
put himself and end up. It. Yeah. Yeah.
And so that, I mean, it's that kind of, it has that kind of tone, you know, that's who he is at this point. He's kind of a sad man, but I will say this. You find him asleep in his limo, and his limo is getting jacked. The wheels off of it. Somebody's trying to steal the wheels off his limo. He gets out. He goes, guys, you know, those are chrome plated lug nuts. You want to strip them off and nobody wants to ride. And then they shoot him in the chest with a shotgun. So he gets up and he's like, guys, I told you to knock it off. And they're like, oh, whoa, where did you come from? And then they shoot him. They try to shoot him again, and he freaks out. And he for a second there, you see the old Logan. He dismembers a couple. He kills a couple, and the rest of them run off. And then he spends his time over top of the sink trying to heal. You know, so you know something's up with him. And then he goes on this, you know, one last adventure as you know, Hugh Jackman has this one last adventure as Wolverine, because Hugh Jackman has stated in many media outlets that this is his last appearance as Wolverine, unless Marvel can get the rights to the character and he will appear in a Marvel movie.
This is, we just talked about this tonight where they were mentioning how if he could come back as an Avenger, that would be something that he would actually consider. Now, of course, we don't know if that's what he said or not, but if they could get the rights to him and bring him into a Marvel movie and he's cool with that.
Huge.
It'd be huge. Dude, it'd be crazy.
It could be literally him and Iron Man sitting there eating dinner and people would go watch it.
Yeah, really.
You know? So, I mean, it would be huge. It's not for kids. You can't take kids because they're, like I said, beheadings, blood, stabbing in the head, gunshots, lopty necks, a little bit of lunch meat neck. the young lady that plays Laura Kinney in it, X-23, she does a phenomenal job. And at one point, they you know, you get to see them fight together, and you can see them, like, you know, this really is his daughter. He's trying to fight that the entire time, as you can see from the previews. He's like, I don't want anything to do with her. You know, he keeps having something to do with her. So it is a phenomenal movie that I enjoyed thoroughly, but you cannot take kids. Don't take your kids because they're going to be exposed to a lot of adult content. This is another one of those things where, like, Deadpool, it was a no-brainer. You're not going to take your kids to see Deadpool because it's going to be a lot of adult content in it. This one was a little bit shocking to people because they're like, but Hugh Jackman said this is the Wolverine movie that he's always wanted to make.
Good.
Because Wolverine is – he gets to – play Wolverine with no boundaries at this point. Mm-hmm. He gets to be who he thinks Logan is. And over, you know, the 10 times that he's played Wolverine, he's appeared as Wolverine 10 times. I think they're maybe counting his People Magazine cameo in Deadpool in that. I'm not sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They might be.
Well, can we name the 10? Try to name the 10 right now.
X-Men, X2, X-Men Last Stand, which doesn't really exist, X-Men Origins, Wolverine, The Wolverine, that's 5, Days of Future Past, he had a cameo, no, not Days of Future, I apologize. Say,
he was a little bit of a big
deal in that one. first Class, he had a cameo.
First Class cameo, okay.
And then he had Days of Future Past, he was a big one.
Yep.
That's 7 right there.
Are we
there.
Counting Old Man Logan, or are we counting
Logan? Yeah, okay. That's 8.
There's 8. And then do we have any other mutant movies other than Deadpool?
So we'll just throw Deadpool in there. That's 9. What am I missing? Adam, help me out.
10?
I'm trying to think. You got to him before I did, before I could think about him. Like, I'm trying to think of the other, like, obscure movies that he may have just, like, you know how he'll do, like, a cameo in?
These are all Marvel-based movies.
Right, that's what I'm saying, though. But, like, you know, I want to say there was a movie where he like, walks down the hallway and somebody's like, hey, Logan. You know what I mean? Like, what was that? Am I thinking of another movie? But I feel like there was a group of people and, like, he kind of walks down the hallway and they just kind of wave hi to him and he just grumbles at him.
All right, well, I'm looking here at films.
His X-Men First Class, his face on the cover of the Sexiest Man Alive People issue, his Alkali Lake Rampage and X-Men Apocalypse. Apocalypse. He was in X-Men Apocalypse, yep.
And what part did he play in that?
Weapon X.
Wolverine.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yep. So he was a huge part in that, really. Patrick Stewart apparently lost 21 pounds to play Charles Xavier. Jeez. As elderly. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, Charles Xavier isn't old, but he's in his upper 60s to my knowledge.
He's frail.
It's a lot. I mean, cause
no, I'm sorry. He's in his upper 70s. He's 76. I said upper 60s, but he's in his 70s. and he lost 21 pounds at the age of 76 to play a part in a movie.
When you start losing weight like that at that age, that's kind of sometimes can be that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You need that.
So you need that on you.
You need some meat on the bones.
So there is no mid-credit scene or post-credit scene in this
scene.
I mean, there's not much. There's nowhere else to go with it.
Boo.
There's nowhere else. This is his last run, you know?
Well, I mean, there is a place to go with it, but it's not with him.
Right. With her, but you just kind of see
now,
where
now, she's going with let me ask you a quick question. This is kind of my own knowledge. So X-23, that's – you know what I'm talking about?
What I'm
talking about when I say X-23, the girl super weapon, right?
Yeah.
Is that the girl from Logan? Is that her?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I wanted. I wasn't sure
exactly who it is.
That's what I wanted to make sure of.
She is now taking the mantle of Wolverine because she was a teenager when she was first introduced into comic books, and she's grown and she became a member of X-Force. I think she was a member of the X-Men for a while. And now that we were going to get into this, since Wolverine in the comic books has died, they killed Wolverine, the current Wolverine as we know him. Since he passed away, since he died, she took up the mantle of Wolverine, and she wears the yellow and black suit, and she has the claws, and she has the wing tips on the mask, or whatever you want to call them, that shaped his hair forever.
no matter how many times he washed it,
it just stayed like that. But in this movie, he doesn't have that hair, and he just brushes it back, and he has a full beard for most of the movie, and it's really a different take on Wolverine. But you know, in the comic book,
awesome.
He looks awesome, but in old man Logan, if I'm not mistaken, the comic book, does he have a full beard in that?
I think he does, because I haven't read the comic book in years, but. But yeah,
I'm leaning towards no, but I can tell you for sure.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I'm getting confused.
It's all right, man. We'll find out. Go ahead. Keep talking.
But this storyline is my favorite storyline of all of them. Like I love the old man Logan storyline. Like the whole kind of a post-apocalyptic future where Hulk has his kids, and they really just run around terrorizing everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a good storyline. I love it.
I'm still looking. I gotta find the freaking comic.
Now, what's the storyline where you meet Wolverine's son? He has the two claws that come out.
Dokken, Dakin, or Dokken? I know that he was a primary player in the Dark. Like Dark Avengers, Dark storyline. And me and Ronnie actually did a show. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm
okay,
here.
Okay.
I'm having – there's some network difficulties going on right now. And
okay, just making sure.
It's ticking me off.
I was worried that I was lost to the ether.
No, sir.
Me and Ronnie actually did a – we did a show on Source Material for a – What If story. Now, Adam, are you familiar with the What Ifs from Marvel?
With what is it now?
They're called What If, like What If This or What If That. It was actually a series that ran for...
I've never heard of that.
Okay, well, pretty much what it is like a... They would do like one-shots of alternate history for Marvel. So like, cool. I'm trying to think, like, what if the Avengers lost the Evolutionary War? What if Spider-Man one of the big ones that we were just about to do here, I'm thinking about doing is like, what if the Hulk killed Wolverine? Well, because I've actually done what if the Wolverine killed the Hulk. Well, I figure we need to follow it up with that. But anyway, the point is, me and Ronnie did a show called It was on what if Wolverine father. So My wife just messaged me and she says, "What if, what if, what if?" That's all I'm hearing. Is what if, what if? She's above me. She keeps hearing it. Anyway, so it was called What If Wolverine Father. Now, in that story, it's about Wolverine and I'm getting a phone call from Ronnie right now, a screaming boy.
Yep, I see him. He dropped off, yeah.
Do we add him to this one or do we go to the other one? Because we're live and direct right now. Hold on. How do we – can we send him a link?
He started the link. Yeah. Hang on.
All right. Then we're going to – I guess we're going to end this episode. Go over there and finish our conversation.
We might be able to not – get it to him. I'm going to shoot this to him. Okay. And
can I share? Can I screen share stuff? I think I can.
Try that one. I sent him a thing for 2 hour Google Hangout.
Okay.
I hope anyway, but
hold on anyway. Now. I'm going. Okay. Give me a second. Cause if I can find it, of course I wouldn't be able to find it. Where is, okay, well, I'm going to show you, I will show you real quick as soon as I can find it online. I just need to go to
screen share.
Yeah. I'm going to screen share What If Wolverine Father real quick and show you, what it was about. So go to this and nope, don't email the image. Go ahead and save it. That'd probably be best. He making his way back? Yay.
What the crap happened?
On a side note, you know that AMC, the theaters, they have some of them have restaurants inside them and you can eat during the movies.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
What in the world were we talking about before everything went wonky?
I don't know. What did you hear last?
I don't know.
All right, here, I'll show you. Hold on.
We were usually, we usually have this problem with like Blog Talk Radio, but my Lord, what the heck?
This is the first time this has ever happened.
Yeah, I know, right?
This screenshot looks really crappy, but there you go.
That one. Yeah,
I've seen that. I have seen that before.
It's a little bit better. But anyway, me and Ronnie talked about this, What If story where he became a dad and
yeah,
he, it was to a guy by a kid by, well, he called him Dokken, but I think, how do we pronounce that? Dakin or Dokken, Ronnie?
Dakin. Dakin. Because Dokken is a really crappy band.
Dokken.
Very similar though to X-23, except he's a boy.
Yeah. He was really his son as well. He was Dark Wolverine as well.
Oh, that's right. He was his actual son.
He was his actual son.
Not some clone.
Right. And he had three claws on his hand, just like Wolverine, but one came out of the bottom of his wrist.
That's right.
I remember that.
I was going to say, I found a better picture, but go ahead and continue, guys.
I forgot where we were going with all that.
Well, he was asking about Dokken. And Dakin,
Wolverine's son.
And I was like, yeah, hey, we did a What If on Wolverine Father, which was pretty neat.
It was a good read. It was one of those darker stories and sad stories, but it was still a good read, you know? Yeah. But so as far as Wolverine, if you're ready for, a more gritty, okay, let me put it this way. I read that Hugh Jackman came up with the idea of Logan one night after he was hungover. But he said he was hungover and he came up with the idea for Logan. When he was done doing the press for Chappie, the film Chappie, he asked him what, you know, the director of that film asked him what was next for Wolverine, and he didn't have an idea. But he fell asleep, woke up at 4 in the morning, grabbed a recorder, and summed up that that the last Wolverine, or Wolverine 3, would be a mix of Unforgiven, The Wrestler, and Shane, the 1953 Western Shane. And those would be the basis of the story or the idea or the theme behind the next and last Wolverine film. Yeah, and the Mark, movie...
Mark made some references to Westerns when we talked about the book. So
very... very Western, a big Western motif in this. And it was, Wolverine is pretty much, he's a modern day samurai cowboy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, of course it's going to feel like a Western, but it's there, the movie Shane plays an important role in this as well. And great flick, Shane. Just a phenomenal movie, and so it's a very sad movie. Shane. It was 1953, 53, and it plays a very, very important role in this movie. And I was so glad they introduced they included it, but you've got to really, you don't have to really pay attention, but. It's one of those, when you see it, you're like, oh yeah, that's really cool kind of things. Mm-hmm. You go ahead and throw that back up for me there, Jesse.
This one right here, I grabbed a few screenshots. I grabbed a few pictures off of the internets and, you know, the interwebs. As you can see here, we got comparison of is that a shot out of the movie with Hugh Jackman looking and like
that
he
is, that is a huge that is from the movie from Logan. That's what he looks like in Logan.
Yeah, that
notice the scarring, the bruises, and all that. That's not healing.
Yeah,
it should.
The white hair with the regular old haircut rather than the crazy hair.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
He's not Wolverine. I mean, this. He is, and they actually make reference to his real name, James Howlett.
James Howlett. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
They're on the lam. They're on the run. Not really on the run or anything, but they stop at this family's house, or they help them, and this family invites them back for dinner, and he's like, "No, we got to keep moving." And from the car, you hear Professor X go, "That would be lovely. Thank you." Like, all right, I guess we're having dinner. So he introduces X-23 as his daughter, and he introduces Professor X as his dad, Chuck. And they say, well, we're very, you know, they're having saying grace over dinner. So we're very thankful for our new friends, the Howlett family.
Wow.
Yeah, and it shows him text messaging this certain person before he meets X-23. And her phone says, James. That's what he's listed as in her phone is James.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So, and he, you know, they make reference to James Howlett and all this as his real name instead of Logan. So it's really cool. It's a really cool movie. There's a lot of things you have to catch. Some things are kind of left unanswered, but you don't care because they're better left unanswered,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the past. So, for me, it was, on the screenshot, it just shows another, as he's looking on, another group of villains, the Reavers, actually.
Oh, the Reavers. Make their debut.
Yeah, they are the main antagonists in this movie.
One of my first Wolverine stories that I remember reading, actually in the comics, involved the Reavers, and that was when, mm-hmm. I mean, they took their purpose, they knew they couldn't kill Wolverine.
Uh-huh.
But they tortured him. And one of the most iconic covers that I can remember reading was, or that I can remember seeing, was a X, okay? It was mm-hmm. just this large X, just a silhouetted X, kind of shot out from the, or drawn from the side, and Wolverine is up on the X like it's a cross. And it's just, if I remember right, it's just a silhouette. You can barely see him. But the Reavers, what they did was they pretty much put him up there, nailed him up there, and then just continually bled him instead of killing him or trying to kill him or doing, they would just come over and like, okay, we're going to stab you again. And they just continued that over and over. The Reavers were some bad dudes.
Yeah. And they, if you're not familiar with the Reavers, they're a group of cybernetically enhanced villains that, you know, they were in the 80s and 90s, the early 80s. It's kind of like, of course, you're going to get some silliness. One of them had the lower half of a tank, you know, stuff like that. But in this one, they,
I do remember that.
Yeah. But this one, you know, they may have lost a limb and, you know, their ex-military or their, you know, their mercenaries or whatever, and they may have lost a limb or they figure that they can enhance their strength or whatever. And they have cybernetic parts, you know, legs, arms, you know, eyes, things like that. So they've, where mutants and superheroes are pretty much, you know, non-existent at this point. Well, mutants, because in the X-Men universe, there's no other superheroes really. They are hunting them and they enhance themselves cybernetically. Mm-hmm. So the Reavers are a part of this and they were really, really well done. They were really cool. So they are the main antagonists, you know, in this film. And it was, there's that cover of that book.
Yeah. They just continued to bleed him like over and over. And shortly after this, I think he gets the reason he escapes the Reavers is Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those instances very early on in the history of X-Men where Jubilee actually becomes a trusted friend.
Mm-hmm. Useful.
Useful. Before she gets lopty necked and old man Logan.
Lopty neck. Lunch meat neck.
Lunch meat neck.
Oh, Lord, what is wrong with us? but it's if you wonder what we're talking about, lunch meat neck, there's a panel out of.
I got a picture right here. Trust me, I saved it.
Show us that picture real quick, and I will explain to the listeners who may not be watching this. There's a panel in Old Man Logan where Logan has gone on a murdering spree, thinking he's killing. He thinks he is killing the supervillains that have come together to fight the X-Men, like Dr. Octopus. Claw, all these people that don't normally fight the X-Men. Mr. Sinister was there. He's, of course, an X-Men villain. So he thinks he is fighting them, but he's actually fighting the other X-Men. And as you can see there, Havoc has been decapitated, yet part of his neck remains.
Just but slicing it looks a little like, salami.
Yeah, it looks like a lunch meat neck.
Who's that artist that always does weird things? Rob
Liefeld.
Yes.
When you say weird things, what do you mean?
Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, that. Yeah, no, I mean like the proportions are off, way off in more ways than one.
That's Rob Liefeld.
That's Rob.
Yeah.
Like I know him. I that's old Rob. That's
Bob. Good old Rob.
Yeah. I love Bobby. His,
He gets a hard time. He gets a hard time from a lot of
diamond people. Feet. Diamond feet. That's all I have to say. Yeah. If they're there, they're shaped like diamonds.
Yeah, like he has a Facebook page, and if you go through it and you look at all his pictures, you can get great examples of his own work. You know, and
here you go.
It up.
I will. Great, man. I will gladly share what we.
If you can find where Captain America has the table for a chest, that'll be amazing.
Just wait, because this is exactly what you're thinking of, Ronnie, except we're going to take it just a little bit further.
All right. Okay?
And that is going to be we're going to start out with the full costume, and then we're going to become shirtless.
That's exactly it. If you're listening and not watching this, you need to go to YouTube and just see it. But Captain America has a chest that sticks out that you could set like your dinner plate on. And then they slowly remove his clothing. Oh, my Lord. This is just disturbing.
It's like, put the shield down. All right, take your shirt off. Right. Oh, geez, Louise. That's a chest, my friend.
Mercy.
Thank you, Rob Liefeld.
Lord.
Man. And if you Google him, the first thing that comes up is Rob Liefeld, Captain America.
Well, yeah. I think this is his most infamous picture that he's ever drawn. And the thing is, I believe I have that issue. Because this is when he hopped back into Marvel or Superheroes Reborn or whatever it was.
And so, then he was immediately escorted out.
Said, okay, you've got 12 issues. You've got three, and now it's time to leave. but, yeah. Good old...
Sir, get out.
Poor Rob Liefeld.
No one wants you here.
Dude, I'm telling you what. If you have the opportunity to watch the Image Revolution on I was going to say
Netflix.
I think it's on Amazon. I don't know if it's on Netflix yet. But if you have, he is entertaining as all get out. He is probably one of the most entertaining people, artists, creators that I've ever. He will do impressions of some of the other guys that will leave you on the floor. Hilarious, dude. But Rob Liefeld.
Really?
He's funny, but I mean, his artwork gets so much flack. And
he's really not that bad. I guess most of it.
No, he's terrible.
I'd say 80% of his stuff is not that bad. But he's also the guy, I think he's the guy behind that crazy, it's like Spider Woman or something like that, where she's like crawling and she's looking up.
No,
and
that's a different guy. Yeah, okay. I know what you're talking about, but
it's the one like if you actually were to do that as a human, you would be breaking your own neck.
Yeah. Well, no, it was they didn't like it because it was an over sexualized position for Spider-Woman. Her costume hugged a little too much on her derriere, and it looked like she wasn't wearing a costume at all. So I can understand that. I mean, I get it. I mean, it was a little too.
That was controversial. A little
too revealing. It was pretty controversial, but it was. I don't know, but you know, it's just one of those things where, no matter what, comic books are going to be like that. I hate to say it, but they're going to.
Well, dude, I mean, you just pick up a comic book from the 90s. Any comic book from the late 90s. Yeah, it's ridiculous at how much, you know, there were certain parts of the female anatomy that were over-endowed, that
their boobs.
It was a clear marker of who was reading comics at that point in time. And yeah, that was 15, 14-year-old boys. And a lot of 20-year-olds having too much. There's a bunch of 20-year-olds having too much fun drawing them.
Drawing, yeah. I mean,
but sex anyway. Sells, though. Sex yeah. sells.
Wow. So Jesse has just put up a picture of priceless. Captain America drawn by Rob Liefeld and Captain America. In real life, as Chris Evans as Captain America, if he were drawn by Rob Liefeld.
Oh, man. The inspiration. Unbelievable.
Tiny little head, big old chest and shoulders.
That's brilliant.
Perfect.
Hilarious.
Lord. So, well, the whole reason behind old Logan, they got the idea from Old Man Logan, but in the main comic books, in the main Marvel universe, Logan has passed away. And the death of Wolverine was a comic series. It was a mini series that came out. And I think it was 2015 when the death of Wolverine came around. And it was a rather sad book, to be honest with you, because you knew that it was not going to end well for our hero, Wolvie. Because in the death of Wolverine, at this point, Wolverine had lost his healing factor completely. So September 3rd, 2014, and it went on in the fourth issue was October 15th, 2014. So it wasn't, you know, it was a couple of months there. So Wolverine, every time he popped his claws and retracted them, he ran the risk of infection. Disease, anything like that, because he was gutting men and then drawing these things back into his arm. They were not healing, so he had open wounds on his hands. Anybody could come around and just absolutely waste him because he was, he had no protection, no healing factor. And finally, when he ran down the guy who was trying to, you know, end it all for Wolverine, he had all these agents coming after him, trying to kill him. They finally ended Wolverine by pouring molten adamantium on him, which hardened as he crawled to, as you can see on the picture here, he crawled to the edge of this building, looked into the sunset, kind of smiled, and there it hardened, and there he sits.
So we got an adamantium Wolverine statue out there looking at the sun.
Before these panels, it went through the history of Wolverine. You see him in his blue and yellow costume. You see him as Patch. You see him kissing Jean Grey. You see him in World War II. You see him teaching at the Jean Grey School for Gifted Youngsters. You see him with his wife, Mariko.
I want to say Mariko as well.
As samurai in Japan. It goes pretty much the whole gambit of who he was. My question to you guys, encased in molten adamantium, do you think he's still alive in there and just can't get out?
Oh man, that would suck so bad.
Ooh.
I have nightmares of stuff like that, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, stuck and you can't do anything just claustrophobia.
Yeah. I mean, I'm recently reading, I restarted this Wolverine series called Wolverine Weapon X, where someone restarted the Weapon X program and created these soldiers that were just like him. And they had all the enhanced senses, the healing factor, but it was not natural healing factors, but it was like nanites or something like that. They had the enhanced senses, they had the reflexes, enhanced strength, everything that he has. So as you know, may or may not know, Wolverine does have some sort of superhuman strength, almost superhuman strength, because he has this adamantium laced in his bones that he has to carry it around, which makes him super heavy. So his muscles have grown to accustomed to this extra weight. So as he gets, as he goes along, he just gets stronger. So it goes, he picked up Ursa Major, which was a Russian superhero who turned into a bear. He lifted Ursa Major over his head and threw him with ease. He's lifted 10 guys, in a big, bar fight above his head. They were dogpiling him and he just picked him up and threw him, so he has some sort of enhanced strength. Mm-hmm. And then their claws were laser. Like they were like almost like lightsaber blades. And so he finds out who they are. And he goes on to say, there's not many things in this world that scare me except for the ocean. He said, I'm not a big fan of what may lie beneath the mystery of the depth and everything. And the fact that that may be the only thing that could kill me would be drowning.
Hmm.
So he could possibly die by drowning. So did he drown in the molten adamantium, or did it just encase him, or he can't move?
Well, see, my thought behind that is so let's say he drowns. The whole point of drowning is you lose oxygen, you can't breathe. Okay,
right.
So even if he did get dumped in this adamantium, it takes away his oxygen, he can't breathe. So I think he's probably dead.
Okay.
Okay. Now. We have been, if you're going to go with just straight up drowning is going to be your, that's going to be your, what am I saying here? Your weakness.
Right. Okay? Your kryptonite.
I, again, direct you to Civil War, where the man's body was burnt off of his skeleton.
Right.
Came back. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you cannot breathe without lungs. Okay? He had no lungs. There were no lungs there.
He had no lungs.
He regenerated from that.
The man was lungless.
I'm telling you, this. Right. There's no way to kill this guy. However, again, mm-hmm. another plug for our what we were talking about with Wolverine Father,
mm-hmm.
there was a way to kill Wolverine, or at least wound him to where he would not regenerate. Yes. And that was with the, what's the name? I want to say Mass Immune, but that's not the right. Was the
Metamucil Blade?
Mass Immune or whatever. That
Mass Immune Blade or whatever. So you could, you could slay.
it's the Mass Immune Blade.
Mass Immune?
The Muramasa. Muramasa Blade.
I think is that what? Muramasa?
Yeah, I think that's how you say it. I could be wrong, but it's definitely, that is Muramasa.
Yeah, you could.
Muramace.
Stop.
You could pronounce it 9,000 ways. Either way, you could use that, and because he uses that to kill his own son in that book.
Right.
So,
well, that's you know, they find that is a way to kill him.
I don't think drowning is going to kill this guy. I really do not. That's just my opinion. I don't care if he's scared of drowning or not. I'm scared of being encased in, I'm scared of being roasted to nothing but my skeleton as well. Okay? But if I can come back from that, I can come back from being, as soon as you bring me up, his healing factor is going to come in. So, Adam, you're trying to say if there's no oxygen, maybe that's what ties to, you know, as if oxygen can assist his healing factor.
Well, see, you brought up a good point in Civil War. He had no lungs.
There's nothing there.
I think there was, I know, he is
lungless.
I can see the panel, like, right now, like, where he's just bones with, like, the claws coming out. Then, like, you see all the tendons and stuff start regenerating. Like, there's that one with the eyeball. And you know the panel I'm talking about where it's just, you know, and I see the one with, like, the four, you know, things where it just, he burns alive, and then there he is again, you know?
Well, I think if I remember correctly, I mean, it took a little bit for him to come back. I would hope that it would to come back from that. However, that should have never happened. He should have never been able to come back from that. That right there is what was left of Wolverine after Nitro exploded. There's nothing there. And you're going, but if he's, so then I guess he is, if we use that theory, he's alive in that adamantium. It was just horrible. I mean, he's got to be, if they do rescue him from that, imagine the state of mind this guy's going to be in. We already know he's reverted back to a feral state before, a few times before. So he's going to be insane.
So there's a how-to guide on killing Wolverine.
Oh, please.
2011.
Of course there is.
Basically, it's just, you know, one guy, I guess he was having he was just having a conversation with his friends, like, kind of like we're having now. Mm-hmm. And he just said, okay, let's try to see how we can kill him. So basically, the first one is head removal. So you'd have to kill his head. You know,
that's right, tough.
But you're not going to do that
because it's completely. Well, I don't know. Here's the thing: it's not like his examples. Okay, I was going to say his neck. It's not like his neck is all fused adamantium. There's tendons and stuff in there. It's just a matter of getting to them. That's probably the problem.
But the thing about this is, like, it is fused adamantium.
Right.
Well, he can turn his head. I mean, he can turn his head.
Barely. Have you seen the traps on this guy?
Okay. Well, you can cut muscle.
You can. Right.
Go ahead, Adam.
Well, in this guy's case, he says there's really no way to remove his head except for some kind of infinity gauntlet or ultimate nullifier or something like that.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, that might do it.
I get down with that.
And then there's drowning or asphyxiation, and I guess they had touched upon it in the Ultimate X-Men comic run. And basically says if Wolverine was drowned for a long period of time, his brain wouldn't be able to survive without oxygen, which was what I had mentioned. But he said it would be more likely to it would more than likely have to be for quite some time as his brain continuously tries to heal itself.
Yep. Yep.
So he says another alternative would be exposing him to the vacuum of outer space where there's absolutely no oxygen. So anyway, the next one is incineration. It would be nope. A very potent tool, but nope. As we saw in, he says we saw how in Days of Future Past, Wolverine was completely obliterated by a Sentinel hand blast, leaving only his skeleton. But on the other hand, Civil War, which is exactly what you just said, you know, he said maybe if you wanted to do that job, you would have to drop in like a vat of acid so that it would eat away
at him.
Yeah, everything faster than his body could.
Yeah.
And then the next one is the Muramasa blade.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can cut through adamantium.
If it can cut through adamantium, I didn't know it could cut through adamantium. I thought it could have cut him and not, he wouldn't be able to heal.
Yep. It's the same weapon that Wolverine used in Victor Creed's life, because the weapon negates a healing factor.
Okay.
So that might do it. You know, because
I'm sticking with the blade. That's my way of killing the guy. So it's a possibility he's in there alive.
Right. So short answer to my my question is, Jesse, you think, yes, he's still alive encased in the adamantium?
I think he's still alive as well.
Okay. So you think Marvel may...
I'm going to change my answer because...
I'm going to change my answer.
Of the two things. The fact that he had no lungs, you know.
He has no lungs.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. It's just... It's a comic book, man. It's a conflict. You have to get rid of reality there for like.
No, it has to be all real.
That could never happen.
You want to kill Wolverine. The only thing really that you could do is get him out of your universe, and you that way maybe you wouldn't have to worry about him. So you take the statue and you drop it in a black hole, and there you go. And the black hole crushes him to death. He's not going to be able to return. Well, he's stuck in the gravity well.
Well, the thing is, you have
we have gone way too far into this, gentlemen.
Well, you asked the question.
Once you're inside the black hole, you have the event.
Okay, we went from drowning to a black hole.
You're stuck. I mean, you're stuck in between.
And Adam is gone.
Universes.
So Adam's in the black hole himself.
So where are you going with this, Ronnie? Then what are you trying to ask this question? What's next?
Have we really seen the end of Wolverine? Have we, you know, has Marvel, you know, killed him off? Now in the current comic books, we have Old Man Logan that has been transported from his reality to the current Marvel universe, mm-hmm. and he goes from searching for, you know, his wife and kids and everything to join the Avengers again. Mm-hmm. And so we've got that going on. We got that going for us. So there's that. But I mean, have we seen the end of the Wolverine as we know him?
Well, my feeling is that they'll bring him back. I don't know how they're going to get him out of the statue.
Uh-huh.
Other than, you know, completely liquefying it again, that's really the only thing that I can think of. How about you, Adam?
I'm sorry. Well, I was actually reading another theory.
Oh my God. I was actually doing another podcast.
I forgot I was on this podcast.
No, it actually involves time travel. So you would love this one, Jesse.
Oh, nice.
Oh, okay. We don't have time for that. So,
time for no time travel.
But
back in time, you would.
So, what do you think, Adam? Do you think they're going to bring him back?
Who, Wolverine? Like, seriously, I have no clue what you guys were just talking about.
Yes, oh Wolverine. Do you think the Marvel Comics will bring back our classic Wolverine at some point?
Only if. Yeah, I don't know. Like they've done how many movies? We did at least eight movies with him as a character in it. So
no, not movies. We're talking comic book.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Comic book.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, comic book.
Yeah, this whole theory going on about the movies, but with comic movies, like, yes.
They do everything. Yeah, they absolutely. You'll probably see a classic Wolverine come back with the yellow costume and stuff.
I'm going to show you guys something. I'm privy to just doing a podcast at a comic book store where I learned about this tonight. This is 13 hours ago on Bleeding Cool. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Boy, I don't know. Can you guys see that?
No.
Okay.
For about a split second, I could.
All right, hold on here. Let me go back to my screen again. I need to go to that tab. That right there. Can you guys see that?
No.
Dang it. Well, let me go ahead and bring this down here and pull this over here.
It's a good pod right here.
I know, man. It's sad because I'm trying to share it. And then I maximize it. And then it doesn't maximize. Then I'm going to go over here to this right here. That's not what I wanted. I want to go to this right here. Why is it showing that? That's not what I want to show.
Well,
all right.
That's it for the night.
Here. There. So, how's that?
Make Mine Marvel. We relaunch titles. Not with number one, but with legacy numbers. What?
13 hours ago.
What does this mean?
Now, the thing is that from what Jordan said, now granted he may not have had the opportunity to read the whole article, but you know how Rebirth has occurred in the DC part of things, where they're bringing back some legacy characters.
Yes.
Apparently Marvel's taken a shine to that idea, and the fact that, well, fans like that idea as well. So be prepared.
We love that idea.
We may be seeing here comes Wolverine back because he's a legacy character. Bruce Banner, Incredible Hulk, coming back.
Non-Hydra Captain America.
Very nice. So, well, I mean, eventually non-Hydra Captain America will make a remake. Will come back. You know, there's only so long they can keep him as a Hydra sleeper agent. To my knowledge, he still is. I got ticked and stopped reading.
I quit reading it a long time ago when they killed him off the first time.
Wow. So they're coming back and using the old numbers. You see that where like Thor is supposed to be 700 in the autumn.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. So they'll be bringing back the old numbers. I think DC was doing this at one point, weren't they? Or did they decide to?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. All right. So anyway, there you go. I could see Wolverine coming back, but
yeah,
that would be where, even, you know, that's where I would put him if it were me, you know, because everybody's all, I can't tell you how many articles I read on if he's going to put on the yellow costume. Is he going to do this? Where's the yellow costume? That yellow costume was it just doesn't work.
Tread lightly.
You know, it just doesn't. I know.
Tread lightly. I'm a yellow costume fan.
I'm a yellow costume fan, but do you honestly think that it would work in 2017?
In the time of where we look at things, you know, as nostalgic and what's the word I'm looking for? Retro. You don't think it would work?
He's got a point.
If you look at it that way, one way I think that it could work is, say, you know, he's I don't know, for some reason he's just running around naked and he needs to find something to wear, and the only thing he has available is just some costume that he runs across, and there it is, his like that yellow costume with the, I think there were blue, with blue boots.
Well, he's already done that though. He did that back in the 90s.
Oh yeah, I know that.
He did that. No. He did exact what you're asking about.
I know, but that was back.
Okay, then when did he do it?
We're
being very petty and arguing right now.
I know, but this is very important stuff, Ronnie.
But in a Todd McFarlane run of Spider-Man, he actually Spider-Man was called up to Canada, or Peter Parker was sent up to Canada to take pictures of Wendigo attacks. And, you know, for the Daily Bugle. So he goes up, and naturally Spider-Man is on the prowl trying to find out what's going on, because his Wendigo is kidnapping little kids and killing them. And he wants to find out what's happening. So Well, who else does he run into? The old knucklehead himself. He runs into Wolverine, and who's doing the same thing. So Wolverine knows it's not Wendigo, but he gets into a fight with Wendigo, which completely shreds his 90s costume. And I think it was like brown and black or something like that. I can't remember what the exact colors, but it was like golden brown. Shreds it.
Yeah.
So he goes back and he puts on the yellow and blue. And Spider-Man makes a comment about it. He's like, easy. This is the only thing I had to wear. And coming to find out in that comic book storyline, it was one of the hunters that was actually doing it, and they were it was kind of a child molestation, a serial killer storyline. It was a little dark, but
yeah, it's a lot dark.
Yeah, so it was really dark for a Spider-Man comic. So it was really weird. But Indigo was proven. There we go. It was that costume that got shredded, and it was Indigo was proven innocent. So it's one of those things where, like, in the time of, like, the hipster era that we live in with retro, I think it could work.
It could. I'm just saying, like, I mean, I don't know. You would have to do it right because, I mean, look at the conversation you and I are having. It can get real heated really fast.
I know, right?
You know what I mean? So you would just have to do it correctly. And I think that, given the right person, then I think they could do. I think they could do it, but
let's move on real quick. So as much as we know, in Wolverine, Logan, James Hallett, and as we know him, not Old Man Logan thing, is dead, is no more. So that happened, and that has happened. So that was a huge, huge hit. 2014. It's now 2017. It was almost 3 years ago I can't believe it was almost 3 years ago that Wolverine died.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a big, like, oh my gosh moment, just like when Captain America died in the comic books. Everybody's like, what? You can't do that. Wolverine's like, what? You really can't do that. So it kind of, like, him staying dead has opened up a door to comic, a comic book, icon staying dead. So whereas in the past, Jean Grey's come back from the dead like 16 times. And the only person that has ever really stayed dead in the Marvel universe is poor Uncle Ben. and so we're kind of looking at it going, well, what's happened? What's going to happen from now on? So Marvel has shown us. So in the year 2000, Marvel and DC have shown us in the year 2016, we have a list of, thank you to, I think it was comicbookrealm.com has given a list. It's called Rest in Pieces, the Superheroes We Lost in 2016. So we're going to take a look at those real quick. We've got 15 of them. So number 15 in January of 2016, Elixir. Are you all familiar with Elixir from the X-Men?
No, I'm not. I've never heard of this dude.
Me either.
So
dude or a girl?
It's a dude.
Okay.
So I've heard of Elixir. Elixir came, was one of those newer guys back when. Do y'all remember the storyline where a bunch of the New Mutants, or I think it was Skin and Jubilee and a few others, were crucified on the lawn of the Xavier Institute for Gifted Children?
I can't say I do.
That happened. So Elixir was one of the healers that they got, and he healed everyone except for he didn't get to Skin in time.
Oh.
And at the time, Skin and Jubilee were an item, and he died, and Jubilee kind of went off the deep end. And I think since then, Skin came back.
Was she a vampire at that time?
No, she was not a vampire at that time.
Okay.
She's a vampire right now, though.
Okay.
Elixir actually was in January 20th, 2016, in Uncanny X-Men number 2, the Dark Riders, a team of bounty hunters, trying to take out any mutant healers that can, they could make them, help them survive the mutant pox. They actually killed Josh Foley, aka Elixir. And he stayed dead. Number 14 was Superman.
Oh,
May 25th, 2016. But ladies and gentlemen, this is not the Superman that we know. This is right. The new 52 Superman. And it was actually in a storyline called The Final Days of Superman. And right before the new Rebirth series, they actually killed off that Superman, who was kind of a D-bag, actually.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't the fan favorite Superman that everybody knows and loves. I mean, he was, you know, he had his fans, but he wasn't the Superman that everybody knew. He wasn't Lois Lane's husband. He was like macking on Wonder Woman, you know, stuff like that. So they actually got rid of him, and it was all a big confusing, you know, plot twist, and you know, nobody. I didn't care. Number 13 in May 25th, 2016, Pandora.
Oh, this is the Rebirth issue, isn't it? Yes, I remember this.
Pandora was actually killed off by Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, they say most likely. It's not confirmed. Not confirmed because...
Not confirmed.
It was
a flash of blue light.
And what happened here is they drew that parallel to how Rorschach...
Yeah, he vaporized Rorschach.
Yep. So, yeah, I remember reading this issue, and I didn't understand that connection until I had to have, I think it was Cole Maritet, explain that to me. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. So the next one, number 12, was War Machine on June 1st, 2016. He was actually the first casualty. James Rhodes was the first casualty of Civil War II.
Civil War II. Yeah.
So
I think there's going to be a few on this list from that storyline in there.
Yes, there is. So they took this new Inhuman who had this precognition power. He could tell you a future that may or may not happen. So they kind of got word from him that Thanos was going to do something. They went up to space to stop Thanos. Thanos punched Rhodes in the stomach and made his insides go out of his back.
Jeez.
And completely destroyed him. Yeah, there is a picture of it online. I actually read this, and I could not believe they killed Rhodey, who was actually dating Carol Danvers at the time, who was the leader that took him into...
What did Rhodey ever do to him?
Right, I know.
I mean, so well, I know what Rhodey did to him, but I mean...
So, James Rhodes, best friend of Tony Stark and wearer of the War Machine armor, is now no more in the Marvel Universe.
I'm just going to tell you right now, you do not want to get within arm's reach of Thanos.
Well, no, Thanos is he's a Titan.
You don't want to.
Right.
And he would be the one guy that I was like, okay, he can be on that planet over there. And I'm going to stay right here on this planet. Man, I wouldn't mess with that guy at all.
When he switches planets, you just go around and go back
to him. Like, well, I'm moving. Looks like I'm moving to a different planet.
Don't you get near me.
Thanos is like here.
Okay, number 11, Vin Vision. On July 13th, 2016, Vin Vision is actually the he is the son of Vision, the Avenger of Vision, who has created himself a synthesized family. Virginia, his wife, Vin, his son, and I can't remember his daughter's name.
Viv. I think V-I-V.
Viv, okay. And it actually says Avenger Victor Mancha, who was a runaway at one time, inadvertently caused fatal damage to Vision's synthesoid son.
Yeah, right there.
Oh, it's getting late. It's so hard to say these words. He caused damage to Vision's son, and he, you know, it was fatal. He died, and which was really odd coming from Victor Mancha, because that is not who he wanted to be. If you ever read Runaways or most of like Avengers Academy and things like that.
Okay.
So next on the list, number 10 is the Hulk.
No.
July 13th, 2016. Another casualty of the Civil War II storyline. They actually get another vision from Ulysses, and the Inhuman that the Hulk has gone on a rampage and killed a bunch of people. So they preemptively strike against Bruce Banner, who has not had a Hulk out moment in months and months and months, but who has also asked Clint Barton, also known as Hawkeye, that if Hawkeye ever sees him about to Hulk out, he gave him a special arrowhead to kill him with. So as they're sitting there, he can see Bruce Banner getting agitated, and we don't know if he was going to Hulk out or not, but Barton shot him through the eye with it.
Ouch.
Yeah, straight into the old brain pan, and dead is our classic Bruce Banner.
Wow. All right, now let's think about the names that have been on this list so far. Two of the heavy hitters, although albeit Superman was not the Superman we all know and love
right.
in reality. But, I mean, we got Superman, we got Hulk, we got War Machine.
Uh-huh.
Some big, pretty big names.
Big names, big names. I mean, those are the biggest names on the list right now.
Yeah.
So number nine, Superwoman, who was a new 52 version of Lois Lane. She had what kind of electricity powers, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reminded me much of the red. For some reason, I'm thinking red, blue Superman from back in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. It was some kind of weird electric.
Nah, as to whether, you know, yeah, as to whether that's yeah. exactly what it was, but that's certainly what it reminds me of.
But she was actually killed off right before Rebirth in the same way that the new 52 Superman was.
She lasted one issue.
One issue. Superwoman number one came out, and she was killed like two panels later, and yeah. that was the end of the comic.
Yep.
Yep. And then, actually, I think Lana Lang took on the mantle of Superwoman after that. So there is a Lois Lane still kicking around, and that was with the classic Superman, who was sporting a beard with his son Jonathan and his wife Lois. Off in a cabin somewhere, which is Rebirth made my head hurt. Number eight, Prowler. Prowler has been a name that has been around in Spider-Man comic books for a long time. And he, you know, he's wore the purple and green outfit, and he, you know, had the claws on his hand, and he was just basically an enhanced cat burglar. Mm-hmm. And he started going straight. His name, Hobie Brown, and yeah, Hobie's a great name, but Hobie Brown, he rejected the life of crime. He was actually working for Peter Parker. He knew Peter Parker's secret as Spider-Man, and he actually posed as Spider-Man for him to make sure that no one found out that Dr. Parker, now he's Dr. Parker and is the head of Parker Enterprises and a billionaire, which is really weird to say from Peter Parker.
Yeah,
but he posed as Spider-Man to make sure that no one knew that Peter Parker was Spider-Man. And there was a whole clone saga going on with the Jackal, and he actually was fried. and he was fried by Electro's girlfriend. I can't remember her name. Francine, I think. Yeah, it's right here. It's Francine. And she she kills him despite, you know, Jackal telling her not to. But fear not, Hobie Brown has been successfully cloned.
All right, good.
So he's kind of back.
I think we're going to see a lot of kind of backs because of that freaking clone conspiracy or whatever it is.
This one killed me. Victor Mancha, I was first introduced to him in The Runaways. He was a great character. He's actually the Vision's brother. The Vision and Victor Mancha both were created by Ultron. And Victor was created by Ultron to be be this great superhero, join the Avengers, maybe lead them, and then all of a sudden flip the script, turn on him, and kill them. But he rejected his programming because he was more human than he was machine at that point. So he said, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like my quote-unquote father. And he became a superhero. Angry that her son has died at his hands, Virginia Vision puts her fist through his chest and pulls his heart right out, his back, and kills Victor Mancha.
Crazy.
So he is not coming back from that. Number six on the list in October 2016, October 5th, Multiple Man.
Jimmy Madrox?
Yeah, in the Death of X storyline, the X-Men go to, I think it's Genosha, And they revealed that the Terrigen Mist is actually poison the mutants and it makes them sick and they die. And this whole facility is run by just a few mutants and Jamie Madrox. And Madrox, of course, is multiple man, so he could have been like 400 of him and like 16 other people. But everybody there is now dead, and they catch Jamie, the original one, on the throes of death, and they figure out what happened, and he dies. Oh, so every one of his every one of his duplicates died, including the original. So any time in the past you see a multiple man die, it's been one of his duplicates.
Yeah.
And he's tucked away safely. But not anymore. Multiple man is now, due to the death of X storyline, he's gone. He died an agonizing death of Mpox. So.
Got to get vaccinated, folks.
Number fifth, number five, Apollo. Apollo is someone I'm not really that.
Me either, dude. Is this one of the mythical gods or something from like Thor era stuff, or what are we talking here?
It is not even Thor. It's
Are we getting into DC now?
Oh, this is Midnighter and Apollo.
Okay.
Yeah, he's you know, one of the controversial couples because he and Midnighter were a couple.
That's right, they are.
Yeah. Midnighter was one of the first homosexual characters that DC came out with. And but he is, I think it's DC, yeah. And
no, wait a second. Hold on. I'm reading down through here. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What did you see?
I'm just seeing here. I'm going to read this straight off here. It says, the sheer protection of this partnership only made Apollo's death and subsequent descent into hell all the harder to take. In the climactic scenes of issue number one, Midnighter is sealed in a lab with his villainous creator, Henry Bendix, by his own teleportation system, and is forced to watch as Apollo gets taken down by a demonic Mossier, unable to do anything to save him. Apollo then awakes in hell to be told by a shadowy figure that it's time to put out that light. So now, the reason why I popped was because of the name Henry Bendix. Does that sound? Does that name sound familiar?
It does. It does. Take it away, though.
That is Storm, or excuse me, Weatherman 1, if I remember correctly, from Stormwatch.
From Stormwatch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to double check and make sure, but anyway.
It sounds like it, yeah.
Bendix sounds very familiar. So anyway, but Apollo, huh? That's pretty crazy.
So, and number four, I don't think he should be on this list, number four. And October 12th, 2016, Mr. Immortal. From the Great Lakes Avengers. Mr. Immortal's only power is you can kill him, but he comes back. That's his only power. You could literally take Mr. Immortal out of a fight by breaking his legs. And he heals like a normal person. You shoot him, and he'll come back a couple hours later. You break his legs, and he's tied up for a couple of weeks. You know, a couple of months. So Mr. Immortal is dead.
Now, wait a second. Didn't we talk about this back, with Josh?
Yeah, and he has to claw his way out of his grave.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so that's why I don't think he should be on here, because he died, but he's back now because he's Mr. Immortal. Number three, November.
That's such a cheating. I mean, come on. He can't die.
All right, number three, November 23rd, 2016, was Cyclops.
Scott
Summers himself.
That's a big name.
Everybody – It led up to this big Inhumans and X-Men fight, the death of X, you know, because the Terrigen Mist is how the Inhumans are created. So the Terrigen Mist is going around the world. There's two of them, and it's finding anybody with a touch of Inhuman DNA, and it brings out their powers. But it also is killing off mutants, apparently. So they're trying to figure it out. So they, you know, they've got Inhuman people that, you know, are loaning themselves to humans, like Hank McCoy, which is known as Beast, Johnny Storm, who is, you know, the Human Torch. They are part of the Inhumans, but they're still part of, you know, X-Men or whatever. There's no more Fantastic Four right now. But Cyclops, being the hothead he is now, he's not like he used to be. He's not the cool calculator leader. He is kind of like, no, I'm going to kill them all. Kind of guy, you know, after being infused with the Phoenix Force, he's kind of a, you know, a rogue agent. He's like, I don't care what it takes. I'm going to stop this because I want to preserve mutant kind. So he goes up against Black Bolt in the comic books, and Black Bolt screams and rips him apart. And he's dead.
Man,
all right. So no, but we find out that actually was not Scott Summers. That was a psychic projection created by Emma Frost to let everybody think that he was killed by Black Bolt, so he would no longer just be Scott Summers, you know, rogue X-Men or whatever. He would be an idea, and he would not have died for nothing, because he actually died back in Genosha when they found Jamie Madrox of the Impox.
Oh, tricked you.
So he passed away of that disease.
They do that.
And so she decides that she doesn't want him to, you know, just be another number chalked up on the board to the Impox. He has to be an idea. He has to be a martyr. So therefore she let everybody believe that he was killed by Black Bolt. Number two, December 21st of 2016, The Living Tribunal.
Ooh, that is a huge man.
Yeah, that is big, because he is a celestial, and not many people can kill a celestial except for another celestial. So The Living Tribunal decides that it's perfectly okay for Galactus to become the Lightbringer, and it's time for a new balance for a new cosmos. The Lords Order and Chaos murder him for it. And it turns out they're only in favor of law and order when it suits their own agenda. So he is, Galactus. Galactus got kind of a makeover from the comic The Ultimates, and he turned him into he was once a devourer of worlds, and is he's all into life and stuff now, is exactly how the article puts it. And then when the Living Tribunal decides that it's okay for him to do that, they decide that the Living Tribunal had no business doing that, and they murdered him. Number one on this list, December 21st of 2016, He-Man.
Dude. Man, I didn't realize this that. This is the big spoiler from He-Man versus Thundercats. I am not a DC
fan, but He-Man versus Thundercats has been an excellent comic book. I've loved every minute of it. Mum-Ra and Skeletor become Mum-Tor, the ever-living.
Mum-Tor, the ever.
But right now it shows Mum-Ra. The only way he can really defeat the Thundercats is to find a greater source of power, which is the Sword of Power from Grayskull. And he takes it from Prince Adam and jams it through Prince Adam's chest. And Prince Adam dies. Only then do they find Lion-O. And Lion-O takes him to Thundera. That's where they're from. Takes him to Third Earth. I think that's where they live now. And takes him to Mum-Ra's chamber and puts him in and brings him back to life.
Ooh.
He's He-Man at this point, sends He-Man to this rage, and he and Lion-O actually have this epic battle. Wow. So, yeah.
Yeah, I want to get my hands on this series. Cliff is still talking about it right now from the Kapow podcast.
It's an excellent series. I've read it. It's up to the latest issue. I'm awaiting the newest issue. I mean, and I have really, really enjoyed it. I mean, it's got some funny parts in it. They use some vernacular and language that is not that you would not expect of He-Man or the Thundercats or Mum-Ra or Skeletor, like don't piss me off or something, you know, things like that. I'm like, Mum-Ra.
Wait a second, right? What's going on here?
Yeah, just little things, but it's funny. It kind of fits. So it's a lot of fun. That's what they're having with it. And I'm normally not a big DC fan, but this has really caught my attention and I've enjoyed it.
Cool. Well, that was a fun list.
It wasn't bad. I mean, we've lost some people. Some, I don't think like Mr. Immortal should be on there. The death of He-Man was kind of a shocker for me, even though, you know, they're going to bring him back somehow.
Yeah.
But that was a big one. That was a big one because they left you on a cliffhanger with that picture of Prince Adam having the Sword of Power shoved through his chest.
Mm.
So, and there's, it's bloody. That comic book is bloody. I mean, like, it's kind of out there where they're, like, you know, cutting things and people's faces and, you know, Lino has a slash down his face and he's blind in his left eye for a little bit and until he can heal up. And it's not really for kids, to be honest with you.
Well, very nice. Very nice. A lot of shockers on the list. Had a lot of fun listening to it. Cause there were a few on there I was privy to, such as Superman. I knew he had died.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing that picture of He-Man getting the Sword of Power and like, oh man. So
yeah, it's, cool. It's, I recommend Death of X. I recommend He-Man versus Thundercats. I don't recommend Rebirth, but Jesse might recommend Rebirth. There are some good storylines in there. Definitely recommend Old Man Logan. Please read it. Please tune in to the Rad Glitch and Broadcast Network where we talk about it on Source Material. So speaking of Source Material, Jesse, tell us what you got going on.
Over there, we've talked about just about darn near everything we've done. I tell you what, go back to – I mean, this Friday was – today was our introduction. Monday is going to be Old Man Logan. But if you go back to last – this past Monday, you'll be able to catch me and Ronnie talking about one of the greatest mashups of comic book history. And like I said on that podcast, 1 + 1 = 2. It should be the greatest character of all time in comic book history. And that is Amalgam's Darkclaw, where Wolverine and Batman came together in one glorious universe called Amalgam Comics. So me and Ronnie took our time to listen. We talked about that first issue, the first and only issue of Darkclaw number one, and I might have rapped at the end of it. I might have rapped. There was a letter. Oh yeah, buddy. But anyway, go give that a listen there. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on blogtalkradio.com. We're also on iTunes. So if I haven't said that already, but hey, go also give the Radlich and Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. And don't forget, Source Material also has a Facebook page. If you've got something that you'd like to hear us talk about, hey, you better talk to Mark first because he's the guy that schedules everything. But if you want to suggest something, do not hesitate to send something our way. I guarantee you we will do our best to try and discuss any book that's out there. I'm up to talking about anything. So I want to thank you boys for having me on here, and I had a lot of fun. And that's it. Am I still? Did Ronnie drop?
Adam, no, I'm good. I'm here. Okay. I'm
done.
Jesse, you're awesome. Adam, tell us what's going on.
Well, I'm not doing any other podcast except for this one. I'm not as good as Jesse, but you can find me at AdamRunyon1 on Twitter, and that's it. That's all I do. I'm easy to find.
All right, so you can find us on Twitter. Any social media outlet, Twitter, Screaming Boy PR, Instagram, Screaming Boy Podcast, Facebook, just look up Screaming Boy Podcast. We have a Snapchat, but I don't understand it because I'm old and I don't want to mess with it. I'm pretty sure it's Screaming Boy Podcast, but, we have all of those. Please, add us, like us, do all that stuff. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the Rad Delicious Broadcast Network. Please go on, give us 5 stars, say hello. You can email us at info@screamingboy.com. Check out our website, www.screamingboy.com. It's undergoing some growing pains right now, so we're going to have some fresh stuff on there pretty soon. Right here on YouTube, Screaming Boy Podcast. Guys, we love you. We hope you have a good night. Tune in next time. We're out. My hip hop will drop this shot.